I'm Steve Dawson, and this is This Comedian's Life, a podcast where we talk to a variety of funny people about their lives in comedy. This week, I talked to Emmy Award-winning journalist, host, and author Faith Saley. Faith is a contributor to CBS News Sunday Morning, a panelist on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and the author of a new book called Approval Junkie: Adventures in Caring Too Much. I chatted with Faith about her new book, Kanye West, and commenting about cuss words on CBS News Sunday Morning.
The assumption of the audience and the sort of philosophy of the show and the wonderful executive producer, Rand Morrison, is to try to get to something a little deeper and have, you know, a Sunday morning type pace, something a little bit slower. I like to think of it as public radio on TV, you know, something a little bit deeper. So so I can only say that I'm with you when it comes to loving being on the radio, just because you don't have to wear makeup and pants that, you know, you can wear elastic waist pants. But other than that, it is, speaking for myself, it is such a pleasure to do TV journalism.
And I got to tell you, I love your spots on CBS in the Morning because it's they range in lightness. Like sometimes you'll talk about vacation days, but sometimes they have you hit on topics that are a little more serious. Do you like jumping around from topic to topic each week?
I do. I'm really grateful for your appreciation of them. I do like jumping around from topic to topic for the commentaries, and I will say that I, with very few exceptions, I always come up with the idea myself. Because when one needs to gin up an opinion, it is much easier if it's your own and is not, you know, I mean, they've never assigned me an opinion, but I do remember, it's been 4 years, because I remember I had just given birth to my first child, who is now four, and I got an email saying, hey, we'd like to do a commentary from a woman on why men like to fish. Do you have an opinion on that? And of course I was like, of course I do. And then I had to scurry and make up an opinion on it. But for the most part, it's an amazing gig to be given the chance to say, you know, to have something happen in my life, or usually my commentaries come from a place where like something happened to me and I have these strong emotions about it. And oh my gosh, I have to talk to 6 million people about it for 2.5 minutes, please. Or I come across a crazy statistic or a scientific study, and I think, that's amazing, and I have to talk about this. So, for example, I have a commentary that will run fairly soon, I hope, from a study that I saw at the end of last year, at the end of 2015, where some psychologists did a study and found that people who swear have higher IQs.
Wow.
And I was like, if ever something deserved a fucking commentary, that would be it. So they are very kindly letting me do a commentary, and of course they will bleep the shit out of it. And I assume you can bleep all that, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
It's all I can do sometimes, but that is so funny. What a great study.
Yeah, I know, exactly, right? But you know, I write about this in my book. I mean, the blessing and the curse of being on a show where you get to express an opinion is that even for a folksy show like Sunday Morning with like a larger, you know, an older audience whom you think would maybe want to be nice on the Christian Sabbath, there is a lot of
vitriol.
Vitriol. I mean, on things that you might think are innocuous. Like I did a commentary about using the word whom, like I was championing grammar, and there are people who get upset about that. but you know, it's been for an approval junkie like myself, it's been a good learning curve to realize, okay, is it worth it for me to express this opinion? Because yes, there'll be people who very publicly and vociferously disapprove, and then a lesson in how much of that disapproval do I want to open myself up to? Like, I can always choose not to read the comments. And when you choose not to, you're also choosing not to read the good comments.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I think even people who aren't on TV publicizing their opinions deal with this, because if you're on any kind of social media, you're going to be subject to the immediate judgment of others all the time.
Faith attended Oxford University on a Rhodes Scholarship, and parlayed her prestigious educational background into a somewhat different path than some of her classmates. After college, Faith moved to Hollywood to become a sitcom star.
I loved making straight A's in school. Like, there's such a linear kind of, it's such an easy equation when you're a kid to work hard, make straight A's, and you get gold stars, right? And so I loved academia and I loved learning, and at the same time I also loved theater and making people laugh and improv comedy and singing, and so I always wanted to pursue those at the same time.
I
and
see.
it was a huge shock and turning point for me as someone who loved approbation and the sort of outward validation of laughter and applause and good grades to leave grad school and move to LA, where I wanted to be a sitcom star and recognize that, like, it doesn't just happen because you want it and you work hard. Like,
yeah.
To leave sort of the safety of academics, where if you do work hard, you get what you want, which is
yeah.
really good grades and a scholarship or a degree. And then to move to LA where it you can never be, or I could never be, the prettiest or the funniest or the thinnest or the whateverest. You are always hoping someone will choose you.
Yeah.
And so I had for so long been trying to do it all at the same time, like you said, and then realized that just some of it has to fall away. And this sounds very corny or like a bumper sticker or something, but at some point you have to choose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that means for you. For me, it meant working harder on improvisation and writing my own things, and ultimately turning to public radio, where I get to interview people and put the spotlight on them.
You did have a couple of cool highlights, though, in Los Angeles, I noticed. You were on You were on Sweet Valley High.
Thank you for recognizing that. No
Amazing.
One brings that up enough. And in a bikini on Married with Children.
Oh, I saw the credit, but I didn't know what you did on the show.
Well, among other things, I wore a bikini. I think that episode was called Spring Break Part 2 or
uh-huh.
something.
And maybe most importantly, as a child, I played baseball and always wanted to be on a baseball card. You are on a
I know where you're going.
You're on a trading card yourself, aren't you, Faith?
I am. I am a collectible trading card worth hundreds of cents for my role as Serena Douglas, the genetically enhanced mutant on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, man, that is just ridiculous.
So what? Let me just make it even more ridiculous. I actually got to be beamed up, and in the episode in which I was beamed up, guess who directed it?
Who?
I don't know if you're old enough to know who this person is. Anson Williams? Do you know who that is?
Anson Williams, Monday, Friday, Happy Days, of course. Yeah.
You get so many points for that.
Thank you.
You are a youngster compared. You're like 15 years younger than I am. Yes, and Potsy. He was Potsy from Happy Days.
That's right, Potsy. Oh, and I try to make those references now, and, you know, it's crickets, which is awesome and hilarious. But you got to know who, you know, Donnie Most. You got to know these guys.
Oh, my God. You know. Whoa, Donnie Most. That's even more esoteric. Good for
going
you.
Going deep. Faith's new book, Approval Junkie, is out now and receiving rave reviews. Publishers Weekly called it, quote, as pleasing as they come, while Booklist said, quote, plan on reading this once for entertainment and twice for the life lessons available. I asked Faith what made her take on the enormous challenge of writing a book.
I had all these stories that were sort of reaching critical mass in my head and in my life. I when I decided I wanted to write a book, I had just had my first child, so I was 41, which doesn't seem old to me to have a child, but it does seem old to 41-year-old eggs. They think it's time to have a child.
Yeah.
I had just been married for the second time with my second marriage, with my first child, with this really new career for me that manifested itself in my late 30s and early 40s, working in public radio and on podcasts and on Wait, Don't Tell Me and CBS Sunday Morning. I felt like I had a whole bunch of big questions answered. The questions like, where am I supposed to live? Well, New York City. And will I find love again? Will I be a mother? What am I supposed to be doing? And I had some very dramatic, meaningful, funny, embarrassing stories to share. And when I looked at them, like, which of my stories is worth sharing, is worth writing a book about and asking people to receive these, I noticed that there's this thread of seeking approval running through them. And I thought, you know, that's a really relatable theme. If you're honest, I think that there are a lot of people who are like, you know, I don't seek approval. I don't care what other people think of me. But I don't think that's necessarily honest. And in fact, the people I think who say that the most, like the Kanye West and the Donald Trumps, are the people who engage in Twitter wars half their day because they really do care what people think.
It's a great point.
Right? And you know, the people who are most human and most vulnerable, the Sally Fields of the world, who are like, you like me, right now you like me, or Lucille Ball, like the great American icon goofball of trying and trying again to make us laugh and to love her. I think those are the most honest people among us. And so I thought, you know, I will call this book approval. I thought, like, God, I will call this book Approval Junkie, and so it shall be. But it really helped me sort of keep a focus, because this is implicitly my story, but it's not a memoir. It's like a series of essays and think pieces about what we all do to be noticed and understood and loved. And it is about my personal evolution, I hope, with approval, about how I've learned not to say I don't care, this is not about eschewing seeking approval. This is about learning from whom it's worth seeking approval and why. And ultimately, of course, we all hope that we seek our own approval and try to prove things to ourselves.
How long was the process of writing the book?
A year and a half. And that does not count doing the proposal, because I worked really hard on coming up with the idea. And, you know, when you pitch a book, if you've never, I mean, Stephen King does not have to do this. but when you come up with the idea for a book, you want to write some sample chapters and you want to frame it and outline it and say, here, will you guys buy this book before I write the rest of it? And that took a year.
Wow.
And then once I sold it, it took a year and a half, and it was very, very, very difficult. Not difficult to be revelatory. This is an incredibly honest and personal book.
Uh-huh.
And the sort of magic of writing such an honest and personal book is that you trust that somehow the more specific you are, because these are very much my stories, somehow the more universally it will resonate, if that makes sense, right?
Sure.
So I'm writing about my ex-husband, I call him my husband, asking me to have an exorcism. Well, I dare say that's happened to very few people, but a lot of people can relate to that relationship, that one relationship where all you wanted was that other person's approval.
Mm-hmm.
And you got it in doses, but never quite enough. So you were hooked, right? You were a junkie. You were gonna get back to the days when you first fell in love. Or I write about losing my mother when I was very young. And not everybody has that experience, but everybody deals with loss at some point. So I was writing these very personal stories, and that was not difficult. I'm used to being forthcoming. What was difficult, honestly, was just the logistics. I had just given birth. I had a newborn daughter and a 2-year-old son, and I was breastfeeding like 16 times a day. You can relate to that, Steve. And I live in a 2-bedroom apartment, and I didn't even have a desk. So figuring out how and when to write this book was terrifically difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thrilled to have finished it.
There's a brilliant graphic move on the front too, talking about seeking approval. The front is covered with gold stars, sort of the symbol of you did a great job all through childhood, which I found to be a brilliant design move.
I had nothing to do with that, and I think it's very funny and evocative too. What you didn't mention is that there is a picture of me looking very happy, as if people are applauding for me.
Yes.
And my face is completely covered with gold stars.
Yes.
It's pathetic. And it's like here you are pummeled by your own starry-eyedness, you know, and I like that touch as well. And I also like that it's not noticeably my face, that there could be sort of an every person aspect to this, that we all want our hands to be smacked by a high five, you know?
I put Faith on the spot and asked her if she had any nuggets of wisdom or life advice for our listeners. She gave advice she learned from two very different people, a famous world leader and an abrasive judge on a reality TV show.
This is I'm stalling because I want to think of something really deep and meaningful.
Oh, no, totally.
But I once asked Simon Cowell in an interview. I was like, "You're always giving people advice. Like, you're the guy in charge. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?" And he said, "Once you get a yes, stop talking. Once you get a yes from somebody, stop trying to sell yourself. Stop trying to be ingratiating. Like, leave the room. Take your yes and go. Huh. Which I thought was pretty smart, because there are lots of times where you get a little touch of a yes, a touch of validation, you get permission, and then you just want to keep going and thank somebody by further convincing them that you're the one, and you can kind of undo your own positive outcome. But that is not necessarily, Simon Cowell's is not necessarily the note I want to end on. Yeah. I would say I've always been moved by this wonderful, wonderful quotation from Winston Churchill, which is, success is moving from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm.
Oh, wow.
And I love that. I mean, I opened my book with the quotation from Samuel Beckett, which is fail again, fail better. I mean, that's the mantra of an approval junkie, right? Like, I'm going to stumble and trip, but give me applause for trying, because I'm trying to make something new or innovative, gorgeous, or hysterical. And I do believe my life, at least, has borne that out. I mean, everything from my very itinerant career, which one could argue was, you know, somewhat unsuccessful acting career, turns into really fulfilling, like, journalistic career. Mm-hmm. But also, like, even my struggles to become a mother, you know, yeah. the babies I lost, which was devastating, made room or gave way to the babies who are now mine for life. And the husbands, the husband I had, you know, he came and went, and now I have a wonderful mensch and shining armor, and even my eyelashes that fell out due to eyelash extensions, you know, they have grown back and they are lusher than ever.
Oh.
I'm batting them at you right now,
Steve. Oh, I can feel it. Thanks to Faith Saley for joining me this week. You can buy Faith's new book, Approval Junkie, on Amazon or on Faith's website, faithsaley.com. You can follow Faith on Twitter at Faith_Saley. Thanks for joining us. I'm Steve Dawson for This Comedian's Life.